And good morning. We're not quite ready to go. My computer froze up and get our hour underway, but it is Monday morning. I am Chad Holmes. Currently, mostly cloudy skies, 66 degrees in Wausau. The time is 9:06. And off to the start of the new work week. And I saw some rain early this morning as I was driving into work. Some much-needed rain. Will we get any more rain as we get early into the week? Can we expect, again, much-needed precipitation? I'm not so sure, but to find out for sure, the person with all the answers from Weatherology, our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, again, Monday morning, things don't always work quite right, but glad you could be with us. Did see a little bit of rain as I was coming into work this morning, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty dry week and a pretty summer-like week, isn't it?
Yeah, summer officially starts here on Wednesday, and so we're really going to be feeling that here this week. Today, like you said, maybe still a few isolated showers early this morning, but a lot of that looks like it's pushed out of the area. We might see a slight chance for an isolated shower late this afternoon. Nothing too thrilling with that, but like you mentioned, we certainly could use the rain, but it doesn't look like we'll really see much of that here throughout the work week ahead. Partial sunshine today, high gets into the mid-80s. We should be around about the upper 70s here, so a little bit above average for this time of the year. Also a little on the muggy side here for today as well, and then tonight, mostly clear skies develop, overnight lows right around about 58. High pressure system settles into control here for the rest of the week and for the rest of the work week here. So it looks like pretty similar forecasts here for the next several days. Sunny skies Tuesday, high of 85. 86 here on Wednesday with some sunshine. Thursday, plenty of blue skies and sun, high around 86. And 86 once again to round out the work week on Friday with mostly sunny skies.
Yeah, I mean, man, I mean, you talk about kicking off summer with summer-like weather. I mean, if you're somebody that's been waiting all year long to have the warm temperatures, bring out the convertible and drive around with the top down, this is your week. But at the same time, we do need the rain, don't we?
We certainly do, yeah. I mean, definitely a week to take advantage of, but unfortunately, we certainly could use the rain and it doesn't look like we'll get any.
Okay, Jennifer, thanks again for the information. We'll talk again tomorrow.
No problem. Thank you.
Right now in Wausau, mostly cloudy skies, a little bit of haze out there as well. Temperature of 66 degrees. Winds are out of the east at 8 miles per hour. The dew point is 56, relative humidity of 70%. The barometer at 29.93 inches and a visibility of 5 miles. Good morning. Again, I am Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm starting the countdown because I have not had a vacation in a year. And at the end of this week, on Friday, I'm going to work. And then I'm hustling over to Minneapolis. I'm getting myself on an airplane, and I'm going to be gone for a week. So next week, if you tune in next week, you're not going to hear me. I'm not going to be here. But it doesn't mean I'm being canceled. I want to tell you that all this week because first time you turn on your radio and then you don't hear somebody's voice, you think, oh, man, he's been canceled. Well, no, I am just getting out of town for a week, and then we'll be back the week of July the 4th and continue to build here on Bow Falls Radio. But I tell you, again, I know many folks out there getting ready to take advantage of the summer. As we just heard from Jennifer Vucicki, a chance to really get out there and enjoy what should be a very summer-like week. But again, if you are going out and Be careful. Don't play around with any kind of matches or anything else but sparks because it is dry out there. We got that little bit of rain this morning, but at the same time, make sure that you take care of things if you are going out and camping or anything like that as well. Again, every morning at 9:06, a chance to talk to Jennifer about the forecast. Also, coming up tomorrow, another great show on tap. We'll be joined in the first hour at 8:33 by a couple of members of the cast and the director of Heathers. It's the Wausau Community Theater production that's coming up this weekend. So we'll talk about that program, talk about the process, and let you know more about the show that's coming up this weekend. Again, Heathers coming up starting on Thursday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I got to double check on Sunday, but it should be a terrific show. Of course, many of you, myself, many years ago saw the movie. So we'll be joined by members of the cast of Heathers tomorrow morning at 8:33. And then tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we'll have our monthly visit with the mayor of Wausau. Katie Rosenberg will be joining us coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Speaking of Wausau mayors, I see he's come on in, and it's good to see John Robinson, former mayor of this fine town. He's now a member of the Marathon County Board, and we're going to talk about broadband because it's something that he has been looking at for quite a while in terms of his position. So we're going to be joined by John Robinson coming up next and talk about that and talk about, the issue involving the shared revenue deal, get his thoughts on how that's going to help municipalities. Of course, Marathon County counts on that as well. So we're going to do that coming up next. Again, we're coming up on 9:12. I'm Chad Holmes. Glad you could join me here on this Monday morning for the Chad Holmes Show. Right now, mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 66 degrees. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:15, 66 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Wausau. Start of a new work week, 19th day of June. I'm Chad Holmes with you until 10 a.m. Then from 10 until noon, it is As Goes Wisconsin. Our new show, Town Call. I will get that right eventually. Starts off with 15 minutes of news from around the state with Civic Media, and then Town Call, where roundtable discussion, wanting your voice to be heard as well. 1 until 3, Todd Alba, who used to be on in the mornings, now in the afternoons. 3 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. And then from 4 until 6, it is the Devil's Advocates. Joined by Marathon County, what is the exact term? Is it a
supervisor?
Supervisor John Robinson. Hey, well, I want to ask you, Matt Flynn is now back on the air here. Do you know Matt Flynn? You know, because I know he's been involved in Democratic politics for a long time. Do you know Matt?
I do. It's been a while since I've seen him, but he was a former Democratic Party chair and active in Democratic politics for years.
He's a passionate guy. I got a chance to see him. We had a meeting down in Madison like a couple of months ago. I think he's enjoying. I think some folks enjoy in front of a microphone. Maybe you can become a talk show host. We'll give you a morning slot here sometime in the future. How about that, huh?
Boy, maybe.
I see that face. It's like, no. But it's been a while. Glad to have you back in.
Well, thank you for having me.
I thought about you a few weeks ago. I think it was June the 1st when the story came out that part of the budget process, of course, we basically almost every day now we're seeing different aspects of it. You hear about different points that the governor proposed, and then the Republicans are having their hearings, and they as part of the governor's budget was a $750 million broadband plan. And the Republicans said, "Well, no, we got some federal money coming in, and that's enough. We don't need it as part of this budget." We've talked in the past. You've talked about how you've been involved in committees and in taking a look at this issue, especially for this part of the state where we do have Wausau, but then we have a lot of rural areas as well. And I thought, well, what does John Robinson think? Well, what does John Robinson think when he heard about this aspect of the state budget?
Well, it was an extremely short-sighted move on the part of the legislature. We've been working on expanding broadband, and the importance of having access to the internet was really brought to light during the pandemic when we shifted how we worked, how we educated, how we communicated with doctors and family members, and that isn't going away. And the legislature chose to not fund or put any state funding into broadband expansion over the next 2 years, instead relying on the allocation of funds from the federal government. The federal Congress and the Biden administration have approved the Broadband Equity and Access Deployment Grant, under which $42.5 billion would be made available nationwide over the next 5 years for broadband expansion. Wisconsin stands to get $800 million to $1.1 billion. And while that seems like a lot of money, it is not.
Mm-hmm.
And it will not address all of the needs. And we're looking at, you know, when you're looking at who doesn't have access to internet, there are two types of people. People that don't have access because there isn't fiber or there aren't towers in the area, and people that can't afford it and right. or may not have the hardware. So the issues of access and accessibility are important issues that we need to look at. And we're in the process of developing a plan for this area, and the state is developing a plan on how they'll use the federal dollars. But it was disheartening to hear the Joint Committee on Finance Action. In fact, I was at a broadband meeting sitting next to the chair of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission when the news came in and she announced it. And I think everybody in the room thought that was short-sighted. When you start looking at the cost, the estimated cost to provide service in Marathon County at one time was over $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Brown County, $290 million. So all of a sudden you've taken, you know, half of the money that would be coming into the state in two counties. You're not dealing with the, you know, the more rural areas, and you're not dealing with that issue of accessibility. So I would hope that the legislature would rethink it and make dollars available. So, you know, again, short-sighted, unfortunate.
Let me quote from Howard Markline. He's the chairman of the Budget Committee. He's a Republican from Spring Green. And he said that he was concerned about whether additional state funding would be spent appropriately. He says, often in government, we have a tendency to measure success by how much money we spend rather than what is the outcome. And then the part I really want you to kind of touch on as well, because I know that you've talked about this as well, the providers. He says, what I'm hearing from the providers in my area, the pipeline is pretty full. And I think we've talked about that, how that, whether you like it or not, the providers are a major factor in expanding broadband and getting the folks who don't have the high-speed internet access the opportunity to get it. What do you take from that comment? Number one, about obviously the fear of the funding, you know, not being used right. But again, especially on the provider side, because I know that you've talked about that, where you have to really work with these providers in order, as a basically a public-private partnership.
Well, there are a couple of issues on the provider side. There's the issue of can they get the supplies, the fiber, the towers, the tap boxes and other things that are necessary to fire up the system. And the second thing is, can they get the workforce necessary to do the installation? And those are real issues.
Right.
But it if you're a person that isn't served and doesn't have access to the internet, and you're dependent upon that for your job, for your health, for your education, delays are an eternity. And I think one of the ways you build capacity is you have the money there to get it done. I don't think that we're, you know, the dollars are targeted to unserved or underserved areas. And there are a number of definitions of what underserved is. I think the goal is to get everybody to 100 megabytes per second up and down. But we have areas in the county that are in the single digits. And some parts of the county have no access, and we need to go out and serve those. And in many of the areas that we're looking at trying to serve are more remote, therefore more costly and more difficult to serve. We'll probably have to look at a combination of fiber to the premise or fiber to the home, as well as towers and relaying it. But we need to provide that basic service to people. And there's a competitive process. The last time that there was $125 million of money available statewide, there were over $500,000 or $500 million worth of requests. There was $14 million available this year, $52 million of requests. So there is obviously more demand and more mm-hmm. capacity than we have funding for. And I would strongly disagree with Senator Markline.
Again, we're talking to Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And also, I think it all runs together, right? I think you either said it before we went on the air or when we went on the air that when the word came down, the Public Service Commission and the Public Service Commission has given numbers on how much it really is going to cost to make this happen. And while the Republicans, for the most part, on this committee say that, well, we got all this federal money coming in, the number being quoted by the PSC is to expand broadband statewide, the total cost would be $1.8 billion. So if you do take the money that is coming in from the federal government and then add it to what the governor is proposing, that's pretty close to that number. So now if you zero out the $750 million, there is a significant gap, isn't there?
Well, there is. I don't know if anybody's numbers are completely accurate because you've got local match requirements. Are you looking at a 50% match or not? But what we've seen in the past is whenever they've put out solicitations for proposals, there's always been more demand than there have been dollars. And that $800 million to $1.1 billion is a five-year total. I think that there are significant challenges going forward, and again, your cost per unit may go up because you're dealing with the more remote, harder to serve areas, and Wisconsin law basically relies upon the internet service providers to do it. It's not something that governments can go out and do. We can partner with them, but we're constricted by state law as to what our role can be, and we can work on those partnerships, and Marathon County's been very aggressive in doing that. But we still have significant areas of the county on the western side of the county in our corners that are underserved, and we still have people that can't afford it. So we need to look at those issues.
You have talked about this in the past as well, about the cost per customer factor. And like it or not, there is a profit loss aspect when you're dealing with providers. And I think that... How big of the factor is it? I mean, really, because I kind of try to get to the core of this, that when you talk about that, my first thought is, well, if they're going to look at their spreadsheets and they'll say, well, you know, X number, a small number of people are not getting it compared to large areas of the state.
Return on investment drives.
It's like you have, on the one hand, you got to understand it, but on the other hand, when you have goals, like you've talked about, you've said the goal is to get all these folks part of the grid. There's basically two opposite poles here, aren't there?
Well, there are, and we're going to have to be thoughtful in our process and how do we provide that service. Because to run fiber, if you're the only person within 5 miles, and to run fiber to you doesn't make economic sense. So are there other ways that we can provide that service, whether it's through satellite, through towers, through wireless service or others? We're going to have to be a little bit more innovative in how we do it. Maybe it won't be that gigabyte service, but it would be adequate to address your needs and at least provide a base level of service. But, you know, the internet service providers have, if you've looked at what's happened historically, is that they've tended to go to the urban areas where their number of customers per mile is much higher than in the rural areas. And that hasn't necessarily changed. What's changed is the incentives and the grants that have made their expansion into those areas more profitable, and therefore they have taken a look at it. There are companies that excel at providing service in that rural area. Bug Tussle, who we're partnering with, Serenity, Solaris, and a number of others do a very good job in rural areas. And Frontier and Charter are starting to take a look at that. But a lot of it's based upon the fact that there are dollars and subsidies to encourage their expansion into those areas.
Are there more? You said it. I mean, I had not heard of Bug Tussle until I think recently, and we're very happy. We actually hear them on our airwaves. They're very active. I've seen them on our airwaves. I've seen them in other areas on the internet in terms of promoting themselves. Are we? Because obviously, if you have more, you call it competition, if you have more providers, then you have a better opportunity probably of doing it. Are you seeing that there are more options, and that is that helping in terms of as you said, getting to that ultimate goal that you've been basically underlined in your work in this area?
Yes and no. Okay. I think that the fact that we've got competition gets companies that have a current market share looking at what they need to do to be relevant in the future. They can't rest on their laurels. I'll use Frontier as an example. They relied on copper wires or DSL service, and that copper wire is failing, and they weren't making investments. They've gone through a reorganization. They They received a PSE grant to serve 10,000 homes in Marathon County, and we're partnering with them at the tune of $944,000 of American Rescue Plan Act dollars to facilitate that. They're looking at, you know, protecting their customer base and their current clientele, and so they're responding to it. But there have been a number of companies like Buck Tussle that have grown, and companies like Wittenberg Teller Serenity that are expanding, and there are others, Country Wireless, that have put applications in the past and not been successful. But I think long term, you'll probably see. You're seeing a lot of smaller providers now. I would imagine there would be some mergers in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a deregulated environment.
There always are mergers.
And limitations on what local governments can do relative to, you know, we can't create, in essence, a co-op. We can't be like Minnesota,
right,
and be actively engaged in the design of the system.
You've thought about that in the past as well. Bottom line, before we have to take a break, how much more difficult does your job on the county board working on this issue and other folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, how much more difficult is it with the zero out of what the state legislature is doing? How much of a difference does it make, in your opinion, the zero to the $750 million proposed by the governor?
Well, our critical need now is to do some planning, which is what we're trying to do. And we received Synergy, which is the Area Economic Development Association, a grant with Wood, Portage, Lincoln, and Clark County, Adams County, to do a planning grant. And we're going to be doing some surveys and trying to compile information on where we would spend it, how we're going to deal with some of these issues. But to have, you know, to have the money available, if it's $800 million and it's $200 million a year, that's not a lot of money when you start thinking of the last significant grant round was $500 million of applications. There just isn't enough money to meet the needs quickly, so additional state money would have gone a long way in helping to address that situation sooner. If you don't have internet service and I tell you 5 years from now we'll get it to you, you will tell me I'm crazy.
We'll have more with John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, coming up. We'll have a news update in just a moment, both from CBS News and from Brittany Merlot in our Civic Media Newsroom. And we'll have more then with John Robinson. The time is 9:31. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:36. Again, we are talking to Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson. And before we kind of finish up the broadband aspect, you were saying here in the during the break that broadband is a topic at the board tomorrow night. What's on the itinerary tomorrow with the board?
The Broadband Task Force, the Infrastructure Committee, and the Human Resource and Finance Committee have recommended that we take money that we received from a BEAD, or the Broadband Equity Expansion Program grant for planning purposes, $18,000, and then another $57,000 of American Rescue Plan dollars, and hire a person to work part-time in the county over the next year and a half on broadband expansion efforts. And that position is needed for a couple of reasons. One, we need someone to go out and work with the public so we have a better understanding of what really is unserved. The Federal Communication Commission has a map called the Fabric that shows areas that are supposedly served by providers, and we've got parts of the county that are covered by providers we've never heard of, and It's important to have that information accurate because that's how the monies are distributed, and that'll be critical for receiving any funding through the state. The state will administer the federal funds coming through, so we'll need to make sure that those maps are accurate, and we'll work with Public Service Commission and others, but there's the opportunity to do individual challenges, which is very cumbersome, and people have tried it without a lot of success, or to work on bulk, what's known as bulk challenges, and there are some licensing constraints on that, but we're looking at what the county's role could be in doing bulk challenges and saying these areas are not served and therefore should be eligible. And the other thing that that person would do is to work with the public and educate them on the affordable connectivity program, which provides a subsidy to the people. You know, this isn't just a rural issue. It's an urban issue where people can't afford it. And there are programs that are out there that will help them through either acquiring some of the hardware and or making those monthly payments a little bit easier through a subsidy. That's important. And then that person would also work with the internet service providers to make sure that we can target areas that are unserved or underserved and try to get the internet service providers to go in there, and we can leverage the county's the remaining ARPA dollars or other funds and try to get service into those areas.
My first thought when you say that, when you even if it's a part-time position, whenever you add a job within government, that can be a little bit of a, you know, an uphill struggle. We saw it just in the city last week where the mayor wanted to get a communications person in. Is there any worry? Because anytime you add a job, it seems like in this era, maybe I'm cynical about this, but because it makes so much sense. You got to invest in, and it sounds like a person like that would be able to find ways to more than make up for the cost. But again, just when I hear that, the first thought is there are going to be people saying, "Oh, we can't be growing jobs within the government."
Well, and that issue has come up, and you have to understand historically we've had staff that have worked on broadband.
Sure.
We had Belinda Osterberg, who worked at University Extension, working on it. That position is no longer there. And there were limitations on what the University Extension could do when we started getting into competitive grant cycles, because their mission is to be educational, not necessarily administrative and support. Then we created a special projects position within the administrator's office while we had a vacancy in the deputy administrator's position. That person left to go to the health department and continued to work on broadband, but then went on maternity leave and decided that for a variety of reasons, she wasn't coming back, so we lost that support for the position. And, you know, so you're relying on Jerry Klein, who's the department head for the city-county IT department, and myself, and quite honestly, we're not the right people to be coordinating some of these efforts. We need somebody on the ground that we've had for the last several years, similar to that, and we're proposing that the position be sunsetted at the end of next year. To do the activities that are somewhat time critical and time sensitive. And yes, it is a new position, but it is not impacting the levy, and it has a long-term benefit of hopefully providing service to those underserved households and businesses.
Again, we're with John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Another aspect during the negotiations in Madison that, you know, recently came down the pike is the shared revenue issue. And after the deal that was announced between the governor and the Republican leadership, there's been, I think, some angst from certain quarters. I guess what's your thoughts on what you've seen with this deal and what it would mean for Marathon County?
Well, we're still trying to fully understand what the ramifications of the budget are.
And I think that's actually very good point, because when I asked the question, I thought, oh, we don't know everything, but from what we know.
from what we know, the good from what we know is that for the first time in a long time, there's been an increase in shared revenues or payments to local governments. You have to go back to when Wisconsin introduced the income tax, corporate and personal income tax, back in the 110 years ago, 112 years ago.
During the progressive era.
they did it with the thought that there would be shared taxes, and the taxes would be sent back to local units of government, counties and municipalities. And that's gradually eroded to the point where you shifted to shared revenues from shared taxes in the 1960s and 70s. And Marathon County has not seen an increase in shared revenues in 10-plus years. And we have two parts. We have a shared revenue component and a utility component. We get paid for having Weston 3 here, basically ad valorem taxes, or the state collects taxes and gives us based upon the valuation of that. But our pure shared revenues have not increased in 10-plus years. The effort this year has been to take one cent of the sales tax and give that to communities, cities, counties, villages, and towns as a funding source, and that would allow, you know, there'd be some ability to keep pace with inflation if they stick to that going forward. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
This legislature is choosing to embark upon a budget process where all of the financial decisions will be one bill, and all the policy decisions will be in separate pieces of legislation, which are not line item vetoable. So the governor has been working and negotiating with the leadership, and they've come to an agreement relative to the policy behind how those monies will be distributed. But they're taking away the personal property. Some of the things that are on personal property tax will have an impact on the county. They are limiting advisory referendums. There are a number of other policy provisions in the bill, limitations on local ability to regulate the operations of quarries. And they're giving and taking away, and we don't know what the net impact is. I think the general feeling is that the change we're seeing is good because it'll give some increases. There are limitations on how that money can be spent. We need to better understand that. We'll be talking about it tomorrow at the Human Resources, Finance, and Property Committee. But the agreement is about a week to 2 weeks old, and we're still trying to fully understand what the ramifications of that and other provisions in the next year's budget will mean to the county.
A couple of points I want to maybe get your response to. You talked about the limitations. It feels like that's a kind way of talking about maybe some hurdles that are being put in within this proposed legislation. As you said, all the details and ultimately how it's going to look is still to come. As somebody that does, you know, work at the county level, and I think we can probably indicate similarly to those within municipalities as well, how do you look at these rules? I mean, sometimes you have to understand there are going to be rules. I mean, this is the way it works when you receive funding of any kind. But at the same time, the whole idea of the folks being closest to the people within a county or a municipality where you would kind of feel like you know what's needed, but to have a lot of, what you call, handcuffs on new funding, it does feel like, and again, just based on what I've been reading, that there are a few handcuffs that could make it pretty difficult, even as you say, finally getting a little bit of additional revenue.
Well, counties, you know, all local governments are creatures of the state. We're created, and counties probably have more limitations. If we're not authorized to do it, we don't have that home rule authority that many municipalities like the city of Wausau have. So we are dependent upon the state legislature and the grants to us as to what we can do and what we can't do. So we're used to that. However, there are some provisions that are concerning in there relative to the voice of the people and the public and in letting them exercising that relative to advisory referendums. I'm not always been a big fan of advisory referendums because unfortunately, while they've been adopted at the local level on an overwhelming basis, they tend to get ignored in Madison, and which is unfortunate. I think people just need to be paying more attention. The problem of doing things in the context of the budget and the other bills is that there's not a lot of transparency in terms of what are the provisions in these super policy documents and how will it impact us. We don't fully understand those, and many times don't understand them until they're in place. And that's not transparent or good, but that's been a policy that's been probably more pronounced since 2010 in with the Walker administration and Act 10 and some of those things where there were so many hidden provisions in there that nobody knew were in there, and then they came into being, and then all of a sudden people said, oh.
How, you mentioned again, the good news aspect is additional after 10, 12 years, 14 years, having the additional revenue.
Right.
How far behind are we? Because the thing about it is, this is a one cycle. This is a cycle there is actually a budget surplus they're working with. If this is it, you're still in pretty tough circumstances, aren't you?
Well, if the numbers that, that we've received, Marathon County stands to get $1,353,000, a 34% increase. Statewide, the average increase is 55.4%. Mm-hmm. But again, there's been no increase for years. And we hope that there's an increase going forward. But we've also been constrained by some of the toughest levy limit in the country, where we can increase our levy by the net new construction. And that has been very limiting and very constraining on local governments. It's required them to be more innovative. And unfortunately, many counties have looked to debt to pay right. for capital projects that they used to fund out of their operational accounts. So they've created some long-term obligations. But there are some strings with this. We're still trying to figure out exactly what those strings are. While it's a partnership, it's still a one-sided partnership. It would be nice if there was more transparency and understanding of the issues facing local government, mm-hmm. and we're being asked to do it. I want to just shift, too, to a couple of other policy sure. decisions that were made in the last week by the Joint Committee on Finance. I think the ending of the child tax credits was very naive, unfortunate move. You know, we look at the issues that are affecting our ability to compete and attract talent, and the two right. issues that we hear about constantly are housing and child care. When you look at the numbers of women that left the workforce during the pandemic, 35% of them have not returned because, you know, for a variety of reasons. But, when you're looking at child care costs, sometimes at $30,000 a year,
right.
and you're bringing home $35,000, you're saying, why am I working? And if we are going to be serious about dealing with the shortage of workers, we need to be more supportive of families. We need to be supportive of child care that will bring those women back into the workforce or those parents back into the workforce. And it was truly an unfortunate and short-sighted move. And I'm hoping that the business community will step up and voice their concerns mm-hmm. over what happened last week in the legislature.
We got to take a quick time out. We'll have a few more minutes with John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 9:50 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. And welcome back. Chad Holmes here with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. You gave a very, I thought, a good point about the child care aspect. But you said as well, when we went to the break, Marathon County is doing something.
Well, we're evaluating how child care affects our ability to attract and retain workers. And in one of the things we're looking at the Human Resources Finance and Property Committee is what role should the county have as an employer? And we have the potential to use some of our facilities for child care for those employees. And we're evaluating those options. And we've been part of a broader coalition looking at child care in the community and county. And we're aware of the need. And hopefully we'll be able to adopt some policies for our employees that may mm-hmm. carry over into others, other employers, to try to address it. But it's a critical need. While our retention or our turnover rate is lower year to year, last year to this year, we're still significantly higher than we were pre-pandemic. And so we need to be competitive, and we need to attract and retain that talent. And one of the ways you do that is through flexibility and through how you address the needs of the employees that are presenting themselves for employment.
As good as it is for you and the county, and you know, try to look for partners and go into this issue, it sure would be a lot easier if the state did their part as well. I mean, there's only so much you can do, correct?
Well, it's a systemic problem, and it needs a systemic approach. And the state is a very important player in the certification, the funding. And I've heard reports that a significant number of child care facilities may need to either close down or lower the wages of their provider right. or their workers, which means that they'll look for those other jobs, mm-hmm. and we'll be dealing with a
you'll be basically crisis. Closing down a third of the child care centers. I mean, that's what I've seen, and that seems pretty fair, doesn't it? I mean, if you just sort of,
at a time when child care is very difficult to get, we have child care deserts all over Wisconsin and all over Marathon County.
We got about 3.5 minutes to go. Let's talk about what the board is up to, because obviously here in Marathon County, the Marathon County Board, you know, you've got so much information you bring in, and you've been talking about some of the items that you'll be talking about tomorrow at the meeting. But what are some of the other issues that folks should know about with the board?
Well, we're trying a new approach relative to the budget, and we adapted when we're trying to, one of the items we'll be talking about tomorrow is budget priorities. What will drive the formation of the budget? And we're trying not to borrow. We're trying to live within our means, and we're also sitting down with all the committees and going through mandated or required services, mm-hmm. and what level of service do we provide, and the public is welcome to weigh in. We don't have a lot of truly discretionary programs, but we have more discretion on the level of service. Let's just use highways as an example. I think we're required to plow them once a month. I don't think anybody would be happy if we only plowed once a month during the winter.
Oh boy, I can almost hear it already.
So the level of services is an important discussion. We're looking at what fees and rates are we charging for some of those services that are supported not on the tax roll. And you look at a $220 million budget, and $55 million of that comes out of levy. The rest comes from other funding sources. We need to be cognizant of where those other funding sources are and what other opportunities are to have the user pay for those services or mm-hmm. to capture funds from others. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at what services are we providing, level of services, who's paying for it, and what are our priorities going forward.
When you talk about the budget, and when I first was thinking about, man, it's so early, and then I thought, oh, it's already June. I mean, what is the budget process? What's the timeline as we work with the budget?
Well, the departments are beginning to think about their budgets for next year. We're still trying to understand what's happening on the state and federal level. Those are obviously inputs that change as the budget on both levels changes. But you're trying to identify what those priorities are and where we will commit our resources. And if we're, again, limited to net new construction, this year we'll get that potential boost of $1.3 million. But if there are constraints on that, we have to be careful because it's one-time money, and we won't have it every single time going forward. So we need to be careful in how we do that. But the public is welcome and encouraged to participate in that process.
Well, absolutely. And John, thanks again for coming in and talking about this. And we'll get you back on real soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor. Again, tomorrow at 8:30, we'll be joined by a couple of cast members and also the director of the upcoming Wausau Community Theater production of Heathers coming up this weekend. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll be visiting with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, her monthly visit. Again, that's at 9 o'clock. Stick around. Coming up, a CBS News update, and then we will have As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bry and Jane Mantonair from 10 until noon. So stick around for that. Hope you can be back with me tomorrow from 8 until 10 right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.